This week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com, a glossary of Social Security terms. Hi, my name's Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University. And welcome to this week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com. Well, whenever we're dealing with government agencies, which Social Security is certainly one of the largest, they deal with kind of their own language. They shorten a lot of things, use a lot of acronyms and initialisms and abbreviations, and sometimes it's kind of hard to follow exactly what they are. I try in most of the blog posts to always describe something first in its full form and then maybe use the acronym for the rest of it. But I know sometimes it's hard to follow exactly what we're talking about sometimes when we use acronyms or you're reading something on the Social Security website or an article somewhere else even beyond this blog. They'll use these acronyms because the assumption is most people familiar with Social Security know what these are, and I think that that's not really the case. So I'm going to go through some of the more popular, more frequently used abbreviations and acronyms, and we'll define these, and maybe you can use this as your own little glossary for use on this blog and elsewhere. So the first one is pronounced AIME. It's A-I-M-E, Average Indexed Monthly Earnings. And this number that they refer to as the AIME is the result of adding your 35 highest annual earnings years, adjusting them for inflation, wage inflation specifically, and then they divide that figure by 420 to get, instead of an average yearly monthly earnings for your work record, but a monthly earnings amount for you. And this is essentially a way of taking a picture of your entire earnings record, adjusting everything for today's dollars. So as we know, you know, back in 1985, you probably didn't earn as much as you did in 2015, but it's because the dollars were of different value due to inflation. Well, they adjust for that, and they come up with an average monthly earnings as if you'd earned all your money your entire life based on current year dollar values. The second one is ARF, A-R-F, Adjusted Reduction Factor. Whenever you have where you're claiming benefits prior to your full retirement age, there's a reduction that happens because you're claiming early. Once you reach your full retirement age, let me step back a second. You can also be reduced. Your benefit can be reduced for doing things like working and earning above the earnings limit. We talk about that a lot on this blog post. So that's a very popular one. When you reach your full retirement age, they look at those reductions that have happened during your pre-full retirement age years, and they will adjust your reduction factor. The original reduction factor applied because you had things like work above the earnings limit and similar things to that, which would reduce your benefit prior to your full retirement age. But they don't just withhold those forever. I've talked in a recent post about how if your reduction of benefits happens due to earnings above the limits, you actually get those credited back to you over a period of time once you reach your full retirement age. The act of doing that is called adjusting the reduction factor. And when they come up with this new figure, this new adjusted figure, they call it the ARF, the adjusted reduction factor. COLA is one we talk about a lot, stands for cost of living adjustment. And this reflects the case that your benefits are increased when there is a inflation that occurs as measured by one of the versions of CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index. So people hear about their Social Security going up with inflation. Technically, what it's being adjusted by is this cost of living adjustment, which we refer to as COLA. So whenever you hear COLA, that's what we're talking about. CY stands for computation years. These are the years that are actually used in the computation for benefits. It isn't necessarily all of your earnings years. They use a maximum now of 35 years in your as your computation years, but sometimes you don't even have that many because you have zeros for some of them. So the computation years are the actual yearly earnings figures used in the calculation of your AIME, which I talked about before. DRC, Delayed Retirement Credit. These are the credits that increase your retirement benefits if you delay filing past your full retirement age or if you suspend benefits after your full retirement age. By not paying you those benefits, you essentially generate credits in the system that will result in a higher benefit to be paid to you when your benefits turn on at a later date. Currently, the delayed retirement credit rate is to increase your benefits by 8% for every year that you delay filing or suspend your filing after your full retirement age up to age 70. So if you, for instance, have a full retirement age of 66, which is very common these days, you can, if you wait until 70 to claim, you get 4 years of delayed retirement credits. 4 times 8 is 32, which means your benefit at age 70 will be 32% higher than your benefit would have been if you'd claimed it at age 66, your full retirement age. The next one is FMAX, stands for Family Maximum. This is the maximum benefit amount allowed to be claimed on a single number holder's record. That's the worker that has the earnings on their record by a family. This would include their own benefits, benefits for any dependent children or dependent parents, or spousal benefits. There is a maximum that can be paid. So even though you might have many qualifying beneficiaries under your own record, they limit the total that the family can receive, and that's referred to as the family maximum. FRA, we talk about a lot. I already mentioned it a minute ago. Full retirement age. For most people listening, your full retirement age is 66. But if you haven't claimed your Social Security yet, if you haven't reached 66 yet, depending on your year of birth, your full retirement age will be between 66 and 67. Mine, for instance, is age 67. I was born in a year where the full retirement age was determined to be age 67, which is right now the oldest age that is designated as a full retirement age. Those people who are retiring now and claiming Social Security pretty much fall into the basket of age 66. But if you were born between 1955 and 1960, for each year that increases during that range, your full retirement age increases by 2 months from the age 66. You can look that up on the blog here. We have a resources tab. You can look up your own full retirement age. And a unique little tip here, the full retirement age for retirement benefits can sometimes be slightly different than the full retirement age for claiming survivor benefits. And we have both of those charts in the resources tab on this blog. The GPO, I've blogged about this before, the government pension offset. This is a reduction to your spousal or survivor benefits that you're receiving on your, not your own record, but you're receiving them as off of your spouse's record. But if you are trying to claim spousal or survivor benefits on someone else's record, if you have a government pension where you did not pay into the Social Security system at that job, you are affected by the GPO, which will reduce your spousal or survivor benefits at the rate of $2 for every $3 of your government pension. NH, number holder. I think this came out of my mouth a couple minutes ago. Let's define it. The number holder is actually the, that's the name they refer to as someone who holds a Social Security number in the system. So it's a very sterile kind of generic way of referencing Social Security number holders. And when they're speaking of claiming benefits, there's a difference between claiming a benefit on your own record or someone else's record. So to keep things clear, they refer to the person's record on whom you're claiming a benefit as the number holder. The number holder is simply referring to your Social Security number. PIA, primary insurance amount. This is the monthly retirement benefit you are going to receive at your full retirement age. This is based on your AMI. So the calculation to get to your PIA starts with your AMI, and then there's a subsequent formula at work that translates your AMI into a PIA. The PIA is important because it is, in fact, your full retirement age retirement benefit. All other benefits on your record are based on this number. So this is the kind of the key number that everything else derives from. WEP is the last one, Windfall Elimination Provision. The Windfall Elimination Provision is similar to GPO, but GPO only applies to spousal and survivor benefits. WEP affects your own retirement benefit. If you have a retirement benefit with Social Security, but you also have a government pension that didn't from a job where they didn't pay into Social Security, they call it a non-covered government pension. If you're receiving a non-covered government pension, your own retirement benefit will be reduced, but in a different way than GPO. It's not a $2 for every $3. It's a flat amount depending on how many years you have contributed to Social Security in your non-government jobs. So this affects people who have kind of dual careers. They have a non-government job where they paid into Social Security and then had some sort of government job where they did not. If that's the case, you will be subject to WEP unless you have at least 30 years of substantial earnings in that non-government Social Security participating job. If you reach that threshold, then you are not affected by WEP, even though you have a governmental pension. I'm not going to expand on this any further. If you want more details on how WEP works and the exceptions, you can just Google, not Google, but it's a Google search on our website, on our blog site here. You can just type in WEP and you'll see the articles that we've done on WEP that go into this in greater detail. So this list represents kind of the most common acronyms and abbreviations that are used in Social Security publications like we have here on our blog. So hopefully this will help you decode some of the things that we and others might talk about. And we hadn't done this before, so this seemed like an appropriate time. Thank you very much for joining us here on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com, and we'll be back with you next week with a brand new blog post.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis. It includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefits.
Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.